Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. My name is Dave Custy. My guest today is James Cridlin, a radio futurologist. James runs the Next Radio Conference, which comes up on September the 9th at the Mermaid Conference and Event Center at Puddle Dock, Blackfriars, London. And this is a conference that discusses the future of radio. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, James.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, a little history of James.
Well, I'm a radio guy. I've worked in radio all my life. I was once on the air on a small radio station in the north of England. And for the last sort of 10, 15 years, I've been working in the area, I guess, where radio and technology collide. So things like broadcasting radio over the internet. So it's great to be on an internet radio station. But also things like broadcasting radio on new platforms as well, so satellite radio, DAB, which we've got here in Europe, and various other ways, and really helping companies understand what's coming next.
And so how did you get this idea for the conference?
Well, I guess I speak at an awful lot of conferences right across the world, and in fact I spoke at a conference run by Arbitron, who are the folks that puts the audience figures together for American radio, in Baltimore, in one of those big hotels next to the harbor.
So you've been here then?
And you know, lots and lots of conferences from radio are much the same. They're, you know, three or four people in suits talking on a stage for three quarters of an hour, not saying anything particularly interesting, talking to lots of other people who are in suits, you know, and who have paid $400, $500, $600 for a ticket. And we thought, well, we can do a slightly different festival, slightly different conference. One really aimed at people who are still making radio, so rather than the executives and the suits. So one priced to allow them to come, but also one where we don't have panels, where we don't have very long sessions, really stealing a bit of the TED conference idea of very short 9-minute or 18-minute speeches, and seeing what we could do there. And Next Radio's in our third year now, and we're going really well.
Oh, very good. So you started it by learning what not to do then.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, both Matt Deegan and I. Matt is the other person that helps run this. I guess we've both sat through enough long, interminable, boring radio conferences to try and fix that, I guess, and to have a look at a different way of doing things.
And they probably don't even have a very good coffee break either.
Well, that funnily enough is one of the things that we've been concentrating on, both a coffee break and also a great pub to go at the end of the day. Because pubs at the end of the day is always a good idea.
That's where all the great ideas come out.
exactly right.
So this year, it's next week, basically, September the 9th. And tell me a little bit about what's going to happen.
Well, what we've had for the last couple of years is we've been in a different venue, in the Magic Circles venue, which is the organization that looks after all of the magicians, which is a fantastic thing, you know, everybody from David Copperfield downwards. But this time we've gone for a larger venue. We've gone for a larger set of different people from different countries. So for the first time, we've got people from the US coming over to be in the audience, as well as people from Chile, from South Africa, from many European countries as well. And I think, you know, one of the things that we try and concentrate on is just a different set of ideas, a different set of things for you to go away and think about if you're making radio, and if you're putting radio together, things that you can learn from other people. And I think learning is important. Learning what works and what doesn't, you know, is very important, because if we can do that, then radio's future is a great future. I think if we keep all of the things that work under, you know, under our hat, so to speak, and don't tell anybody else about it, then that's not very good for radio as a whole. And that's really one of the things that we feel quite passionate about, I guess.
Well, that's what radio is, telling everybody else about.
Well, exactly. But actually, what you get, particularly in the US, is you get people competing very strongly against each other and not wishing to give any competitive advantage away about what works and what doesn't. And to me, that's an awful lot of reinventing wheels. And that's one of the things that we felt, you know, strongly about. And I guess the other one is making sure that you're not just talking to senior executives, but making sure that you're talking to and about all of the different bits that go into radio. So whether that's a good presenter, whether that's good salespeople, whether that's good engineers. So one of the things that's being shown at Next Radio next week is an internet radio which you can control over the internet as well, and you can actually control to get a little bit cleverer over what sort of programs it plays. So it begins to learn from what you listen to, you know. So everything from the techie to the programming to the sales, when you're all working together, then you can achieve an awful lot more. And that's really what Next Radio is all about.
Imagine then you take what you did from the first two conferences and employ it into the third. Is that right?
What we try and do, the first two conferences are freely available online as we videotape the entire thing. So what we try and do is just a whole bunch of new ideas, new things for people to end up thinking about, and that's really, you know, being the focus of where we've of what we've been thinking about and what we've been doing.
So you're just adding to what you have already, then?
Absolutely. Hearing from a bunch of new people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this year, for example, we've got Blue State, who are the company that did quite a lot of the online activity for Obama, to understand what they know about word of mouth and big data and all that kind of stuff. So everything from there to a guy who's going to be talking to us about techniques of being able to broadcast live from anywhere in the world, whether you're using satellite, whether you're using mobile phones, you know, all kinds of things. And actually the benefit of doing that rather than a large, expensive, you know, radio car or outside broadcast. And then we've got people from African radio as well, showing us some really new and interesting ideas that African stations are coming up with. There's a bunch of different things that I think that we can all learn, both from within the industry and outside as well.
Well, you know what I would appreciate? If you would let me know about the outcomes on that, particularly in my medium and internet radio. I want to hear about it all, but maybe I'll have you back on after the conference. How's that?
Yeah, you're more than welcome. More than welcome.
Because it's fascinating what you're talking about in terms of internet radio. I think that it's, you know, just in the infancy stages here.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think what we're learning here in the UK, our radio market is a little bit different from the US radio market. And one of the things that we do here in the UK is that we broadcast on every platform, so FM, AM, DAB, which is kind of our version of HD radio, but it's good, through the TV and over the internet as well. But we're also measuring all of that as well. So all of our stations, whether they're public radio stations, whether they're commercial radio stations, we know exactly how many people are tuning in on each individual platform, which means that following the success of internet radio is very easy for us, as well as understanding, you know, are people tuning into radio through the television? Are people tuning into radio, you know, over over DAB sets that they might have in the house or in the car, you know, and so on? And I think there's some really interesting information coming out from that, of, you know, exactly how multi-platform radio's future is going to have to be.
Yeah, it's all about access, isn't it? I mean, we wanted to get to the widest audience that we can, and it's fascinating for me because, like I said, I'm just starting out here, and I want to know, you know, what's happening throughout the world, which is what you can learn having an internet radio station, for one thing. But also I'm doing some other programs, like I'm working with Austin, Texas, and we're trying to develop a plan to stream live theatrical performances and to put technology into theater, because that's kind of the last bastion that haven't really you know, used it yet. So I mean, there's all sorts of different streams where this can be used.
Yeah, that makes a bunch of sense. And I think what the internet is great at doing is it's great at giving that fantastic choice to people. I mean, I think, you know, each individual way of broadcasting has its own benefits and has its downsides as well. And I think that's one of the things that we've learned, particularly, I think, here in the UK, watching how different people are tuning into different stations. So if you we have a couple of radio stations here in the UK which are particularly interesting around this. There's a we have a radio station called KISS here in the UK, just as you do in many cities in North America. Right. Our KISS is a dance station. It's a national radio station, and that broadcasts on FM in some parts of the UK, but also on the internet and through the TV. So if you have a TV, then you can pick up this individual radio station. Now, what's fascinating about that radio station is that a lot of its audience, being quite young, 15 to 24s, are actually tuning in through the TV. Why are they tuning in through the TV? Because they're probably still living with their parents. They're probably listening in their rooms while they're doing their homework or other things. And who's got a radio? You know, what kind of kid has a radio in their room? But they've got a TV in their room, and they can go and tune into, you know, up to 30 different stations on that. And that's why people are consuming radio through the TV in that particular way, leaving their computer free to end up doing other things as well. So, you know, it's really interesting. Each individual audience, each individual station has its own story to tell about how people are tuning in and what kind of things, you know, what kind of ways that their audience are consuming them. And I think that's going to be, you know, a growing trend as we move forward.
Now, you've talked about a demographic, the younger demographic. What about the older demographic? I'm especially keen on that because I am one of them, but they want to make things as easy as possible. They want to be on the internet, and hopefully it'll be easy to get my station, because once you get into my website, on the top it says listen live, and that's it. You just got to click on that. Is there anything in the works that you know of that can make it easier for, you know, older people?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do a bit of work with a charity here in the UK called the British. It's a very British name, so apologies for it. It's the British Wireless for the Blind Fund. We have to use the word wireless. I'm not quite sure why, instead of radio. What they do is they make special radio stations which are for people that can't see very well or are completely blind, that have really easy to use buttons, really easy to use controls. And if you want to listen to internet radio, they can actually program your internet radio by you picking up the phone and giving somebody a ring and saying, I would like this particular radio station on button number 3, please. Can you program that? And they can end up programming it. You know, I think that's brilliant for a very small area of the of people's ages who are who really need something which is easy to operate. But I think, you know, I'm certainly seeing that one of the real benefits of radio is that user experience. It's the user experience of, on an old-fashioned radio, of pressing the power button, and then you get your favorite radio host, and your favorite radio host is telling you all of the fun stuff that you need to find out for the day, and the only button that you need to remember is the power button again when you've had enough and you want to end up turning it off. And I think that internet radio is still too complicated in terms of allowing people to just simply tune into a radio station, bang, there it is, I'm listening to it, and now I want to turn it off. One of the things that we've done in the UK is all of the big radio stations now use exactly the same internet player. It's something called Radio Player. And it works exactly the same way. It's got the same pause buttons and play buttons and volume controls and everything else, so that each individual radio station, when they have their Listen Live link from their site, you press that Listen Live link, up pops the radio player with their information inside it, but everybody knows how to use it because it's the same radio player as every other station in the UK ends up using. And I think, you know, again, that's making the user interface much clearer for audiences. And we've seen great success in doing that, actually. You know, internet radio listening has increased an awful lot because it's now easier than ever to actually tune in.
And we have several outlets to get it on the air. Is Radio Player a public or is it private?
It's a bit of both. It's owned by both the BBC and by commercial radio. And it's something that other countries are interested in. And I guess, you know, the closest example is TuneIn, which of course is a very good website and app that you can download that has tons of radio stations in there. The only concern to broadcasters is that broadcasters aren't in control of that. And if TuneIn decide one day that they don't like Jack FM Baltimore and they want to take Jack FM off, well, then frankly, Jack FM can do very little about it. And that's the concern. So actually making sure that radio stations are, you know, in control over how their audience gets their signal is, you know, has always been important. And that's why radio stations have owned towers in the past. But now making sure that they can still be in charge with things like Radio Player and other things. So I think, you know, there's some interesting changes happening with companies like TuneIn coming in and trying to be the way that we all tune into the radio over the internet. I think that's going to be a little bit interesting to find out what happens next there.
So it's like one-stop shopping, but there's still some kinks in it.
Yeah, I think so. But I think, you know, we're getting rid of a lot of those kinks. I mean, when I started working in internet radio, I was working for a radio station called Virgin Radio out of London in 2001. Now, this was at the time the most listened to radio station in the world online. But one of the problems that we had at that time was that some computers had Windows installed and used Windows Media Player. Some computers used Real Player to play back the audio. Some computers used other things as well. And so we ended up having to produce bunches of different streams, bunches of different ways of tuning into our radio station. And all we really wanted was just a really easy, straightforward way of tuning in, and I think it's taken its time. You know, here we are 12 years later. I think it's certainly taken its time for the internet to be easier and simpler and more straightforward in terms of tuning into streaming radio. And I think, you know, things like tablets, things like mobile phones are making life easier for people now because you can actually do some far more simple things on there that don't involve an awful lot of additional software to be installed and lots of fiddling around with that kind of thing. So it's certainly becoming easier, but I think it's got a long way to end up going.
Back to the conference, is there a few things in there that you are especially looking forward to seeing or listening to?
I'm really interested in a few of the speakers. Obviously, I'm interested in all of the speakers,
Of
but
course.
a few of the speakers
Sorry.
that I am
Don't want to
interested
get
in.
you in trouble there.
We've got a lady called Camilla Wallman. She's from a Swedish radio station. It's a very small Swedish station. If you like, it's kind of the NPR station for one of the very small towns in Sweden. And what they have been looking at is using things like Facebook and Twitter and various other things to make sure that they've got a really good, strong list of who their audience are, what their audience know about. So if there's a story in the press about dentists, for example, and a story about how overworked dentists are now, they can very easily go to their Facebook page, find out exactly how many dentists they have who are tuning in, and be able to get some of those guys and girls on the air so that they can actually hear what local people think about this particular story. So, you know, ways of using the web, ways of using social media to make, in their case, their news more local is, I think, really interesting. So really interesting
really
to hear
about
that.
Because that's, I mean, that piqued me when you just said that, because that's exactly what I want to do. I'm doing variety shows, and I would like to have people, I mean, more expression in it, and people of that like-minded or, you know, the same profession or whatever, to be able to follow, to get them, you know, how many are actually listening, or just to, you know, see what their interests are, and just to expand upon that is just greatly interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be very, very interesting. I think also interesting is going to be we've got a research specialist from Danish radio. He has been doing a lot of research. They use the PPM out there, which is an electronic meter that measures what you listen to on the radio, and he has been measuring how long every item should be before your audience get bored. And he actually has a figure for exactly how long your item should be, which I think is fascinating. So very much looking forward to hearing that. And we may well have gone on too long already. Who knows? But you know, so that should be interesting. But then again, you know, there are some other fascinating things. I mean, you know, one of the speakers who's done a lot of work in African radio and working with individual stations. There's one station that he'll be talking about that takes all of its commercials for the day and pushes them all into 1 hour between 5 and 6 in the evening. So it's commercial free for the rest of the day. And then they have the commercial hour, which is between 5 and 6 in the evening. That's where all of the commercials go. And guess what? People tune in because that's where they hear about all of the offers and what each individual business is doing and everything else. So it works fantastically well for them.
That's interesting.
Which I think is a fantastic idea.
I'm not quite sure
it would work anywhere else.
My initial reaction was, I don't know about that. That might be in the States. That might be the hour that they tune out. You know, but,
well, yes. I remember talking to a few people from the RAB in the US, getting very excited about the fact that one of the radio stations in Dallas broadcasts 46 minutes of advertising an hour. And I was thinking, I can't think of anything worse. But in this particular case, you know, it works fantastically well for them. So, you know, really interesting hearing how other countries use radio and hearing from other ideas.
So how do you find the people that participate, that are the speakers in your conference?
Well, I guess it's a mixture of both Matt and I speak at a lot of different conferences anyway. So we actually see some good speakers that we want to bring to ours. So an example of that is a lady called Jerry Jackson, who I saw speaking at a conference a couple of months ago, talking about a radio station that she was trying to run in Zimbabwe in Africa. and talking about getting that radio station on the air, only to find 4 days later that there were tanks surrounding that radio station, and she had to escape with her life because she might have been broadcasting the wrong thing. You know, so fascinating speakers such as that. But also, you know, we watch a lot of what goes on the internet as well, and find some very useful and interesting people who are blogging, who are saying some interesting things online. And in fact, one of the speakers that we have, which we haven't actually announced on the program, it's a bit of a secret, so don't go telling everybody, is the editor of a Facebook page which is called Not Very Good Social Media in Radio. Except he doesn't quite use the not very good word.
He cleaned it up for me. Thank you very much.
He says some very, very bad things. But essentially, he's looking at what people are doing in terms of social media, and pointing out all of the mistakes that radio stations are making. And radio stations are making an awful lot of hideous mistakes and really embarrassing things. And, you know, so to make radio's connection with their audience better. You know, and we just found that the website, and we thought, this is a fascinating site, this is really, really good. I wonder if it could be made you know, into a 9-minute speech, and that's what we've ended up doing. So that should be fascinating to watch as well.
Yeah, when we're off the air, you have to give me the exact name of it.
I don't want to get you an FCC
Internet radio
fine.
Is not under FCC.
Well, in which case.
Yeah, so we can say anything we want, but I still don't want to go that route, really. I mean, I want to be a little bit, you know, above board and all. But the only thing that affects us, and it should, is that we play music, the copyright laws and such like that.
Of course, yeah.
So is there anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I don't think so. If this is interesting to anybody who's tuning in, then as I mentioned, the entire last two conferences, or nearly the entire last two conferences, are already online and there for a free anyway.
Okay. Tell us where we can find that.
So if you want to have a look for them, then you'll find them. If you just do a Google search for Next Radio Conference, or the actual website address is nextrad.io. That's nextrad.io. And you'll find the last 2 years there for free. And don't forget to buy your tickets for 2014, maybe.
Oh, well, there you go. That's an idea. Well, we'll have a link on the website, and this will be up beforehand. So I would really like to talk to you once it's done, and you can tell me everything that happened and what's 2014 going to look like, and, you know, we'll just keep in touch. How's that?
Yeah, more than welcome. I would be really happy to end up doing that. And I think, you know, by the time we speak again, I'll also have spoken in Zurich in Switzerland and in Amsterdam in Holland as well. So I'll have more stories from the rest of Europe as well, I'm sure.
That's what you can call it. James Cridland's more stories from the rest of Europe. Hey, well, that's BBC, or at least ITV, I think.
Who knows?
All right, well, it's going to be September the 9th at the Mermaid Conference and Event Center, Puddle Dock, Blackfriars, London. And it's an all-day event. And I want to thank my guest, James Cridland, radio futurologist, for speaking with me here today on Baltimore Internet Radio. James, thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure.
And I'll talk to you soon.